The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled.
Super psyched to be with you today, water lovers around the world. This is And So It Flows, your only show for H2O here at Pittsfield Community Radio, 989.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee, all throughout the world on your favorite podcast platforms. Super psyched to be here. Going to have a really great conversation regarding Lebanon Springs and the history of Lebanon Springs, so stay tuned. We'll be talking to the historian of Lebanon, New Lebanon, New York, Elizabeth, and she's going to be in studio discussing that with us. So excited. Nothing like having water at your fingertips, and what's it going to take to bring back those spring waters? And super exciting history lesson coming on up. We're going to start the day, our water day, with a little bit of Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden. Also a water song, so stay tuned. Love your water. And share us with friends.
Come wash away the rain. till you all just disappear. Black hole sun, won't you come? Wash away the rain. Black hole sun, won't you come? Won't you come? Black hole sun, won't you come? Wash away.
We're having a little bit of a technical issue, but we will get that solved right now. Let's see what's going on here. Hold on one second. Nothing wrong with technical difficulties, because we really know that occasionally they do happen. Nothing wrong. And let's see what we got here. Oh, there we go. Got a little bit of Counting Crows. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O.
Start tearing the old man down, run past the heather and down to the old road. Start turning the grain into the ground, roll a new leaf over. In the middle of the night, there's an old man treading around in the gathering rain. Hey, mister, if you're gonna walk on water, drop a line my way, Omaha, somewhere in middle America. Give a right to the heart of matters, it's a heart that matters more. Think you better turn your ticket in, get your money back at the door. Summer rain. money back at the door. Omaha.
You're listening to And So It Flows with some ocean sounds here at WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and 89.7 on your radio dial, 88.1 in WSBR in Lee, and then anywhere you could find a podcast, you will find us there. And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Also, check out our water song playlist on Spotify. You're really going to love that, too. So you want to save that for yourselves and your posterity for H2O, because we're all water babies. We are all babies that come from H2O. So pretty excited about that. Excited to have a really great guest, Elizabeth Sheffer, and we are actually going to be speaking with her in about 15 minutes to discuss a little bit about the history of the Lebanon Springs area and their medicinal springs over there. So stay tuned for that. It's really good historical conversation that even people who are super famous and help make this country free came to bathe in those waters. So bringing some attention to a relationship to water that has an opportunity to rebirth. So super psyched to be with you today. You got some news coming your way. Let's go check out what news we got going on for water today. This is, let's see, is it from, no, it's not that. It's not that. Oh, yes, it is. This is from Newburgh, New York. This is actually from the Earth Justice website from about a week ago. Some water news. Groups seek to defend the lead pipe rule challenged by water utilities. Lead service lines contaminate drinking water across the country and must be replaced now. From Washington, D.C., the Newburgh Clean Water Project, you know Newburgh because it's over there in the Hudson Valley, right on the Hudson River, and also the Sierra Club, NRDC, and the Newburgh Clean Water Project today moved to intervene to defend the Biden administration's lead in drinking water rule. Last week, the Water Works Association, the American Water Works Association, a water utility trade association, challenged by U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's EPA lead rule, mandated the removal of lead water pipes that have contaminated drinking water in thousands of communities across the nation. Not one community, not two communities, but thousands of communities. Reactions by groups seeking to intervene to defend the lead rule, the lead and copper rule improvements rule, especially the proactive replacement of lead service lines within 10 years, signifies a significant step towards safe and clean drinking water for our families and future generations that we and other advocates have worked for years to achieve, said Tasman Hollow, steering committee member of the Newburgh Clean Water Project and also friend of show. A shout out to Tasman. Defending the rule is extremely important to reduce lead exposure in communities like Newburgh, who have grappled with the legacy of lead contamination for too long. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your super waterman, your ambassador for water, and super psyched to be here and make sure that you are getting all the water that you need. Very excited about that. We got a nice poem being read today by Angela Lansbury, a poem by Matthew Arnold called Dover Beach.
And now Angela Lansbury recites a poem by Matthew Arnold.
Dover Beach. The sea is calm tonight, the tide is full, the moon lies fair upon the straits. On the French coast the light gleams and is gone. The cliffs of England stand, glimmering and vast out in the tranquil bay. Come to the window, sweet is the night air. Only from the long line of spray, where the ebb meets the moon-blanched sand, listen, you hear the grating roar of pebbles which the waves suck back and fling at their return up the high strand. Begin and cease and then begin again with tremulous cadence slow and bring the eternal note of sadness in. Sophocles long ago heard it on the Aegean, and it brought into his mind the turbid ebb and flow of human misery. We find also in the sound a thought, hearing it by this distant northern sea. The sea of faith was once too at the full, and round earth's shore lay like the folds of a bright girdle furled. But now I only hear its melancholy, long withdrawing roar, retreating to the breath of the night wind down the vast edges drear and naked shingles of the world. Ah, love, let us be true to one another, for the world, which seems to lie before us like a land of dreams, so various, so beautiful, so new, hath really neither joy, nor love, nor light, nor certitude, nor peace, nor help for pain. And we are here as on a darkling plain, swept with confused alarms of struggle and flight, where ignorant armies clash by night.
It's pain. It's cold. And that's what I call high quality H2O.
Tastes like strawberries on a summer evening. And it sounds just like a song. I want more berries and that summer feeling. It's so wonderful and warm. Breathe me in, breathe me out. I don't know if I could ever go without. I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know if I could ever go without. Watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar.
Washed away in you. Breathe me in, breathe me out. it sounds just like a song. I want your belly and that summer feeling. I don't know if I could ever go without. Watermelon sugar high, 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 watermelon sugar high. I just wanna taste you, I just wanna taste you, watermelon sugar high. I just wanna taste you, I just wanna taste you, watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar.
Oceans and trees and valleys and hills, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind he's real. There's no doubt in my mind, no. Oceans and trees and valleys and hills, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind he's real. There's no doubt in my mind, no. Posted by the dictionary next to perfect. The dark times I've been through, they all serve a purpose. Every downfall I've had, it's definitely worth it. I'm enrolled up in the Holy Navy, ready for service. Flowers on the tombstone, yeah, I buried myself. A diamond underground, yeah, I was buried in hell. I couldn't shine, I just needed some help. Then I grabbed his holy hand and I lifted myself. Day one, Jesus Christ, that's my only option. Got the word up on my side, it's the devil plotting. Gave his life to sacrifice, I have not forgotten. Speed it up to H-Town, I ain't never stopping. If you know, no, no, life is not just a game. If you know, no, no, that he rose from the grave, then you know, no, no, that you gon' be okay. You will be okay. Oceans and trees and valleys and hills, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind he's real. There's no doubt in my mind, no. Oceans and trees and hills, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind he's real. There's no doubt in my mind, no.
Tell the devil show. Number two, try to stop breaking the rules. Number three, never handle faith all alone. Devil's gonna come through and expose your throne. Never had a dad that would point me to guide. Only had a pad, now I just found a ride. I was super mad, I was cursing at the light. You know I was sensitive, you fed me to the sharks. Little bit I knew he made me stronger than before. Walking testimony, I am helping settle scars. Every time I drown, my God will put me on the shore. Wipe away my tears and tell me it'll be alright.
Oceans and trees.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your Super Waterman, ambassador for water, bringing you water consciousness straight from the vortex of the Berkshire Mountains in western Massachusetts. Super psyched to be with you today, bringing you all that water provides, from the thoughts to the jokes to the music to all of it. And today we're going to talk a little bit of history and water. And super excited to have today a really extraordinary guest in studio, friend of show, Elizabeth Sheffer. Elizabeth is a historian for the town of New Lebanon over in the New York State side of the border, which used to be Massachusetts. And she can actually speak to that. And also speak regarding the water. Welcome. Say hi to our water-loving fans around the world.
Hello, all you water-loving fans around the world. I'm very happy to be here today.
Great. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you're up to and how, like what kind of history you cover in New Lebanon.
Oh, certainly. New Lebanon, even for being a very small place, a very small town, has a ton of history. We are the hometown of Samuel Tilden, who was the 32nd governor of the state of New York and the unsuccessful Democratic candidate for president in the very fraught election of 1876.
Wow, okay, so he ran.
He ran, and actually he got the popular vote, but there was no, against Rutherford B. Hayes, but it went to the House of Representatives, and a lot of backdoor stuff, and then Hayes...
Smoke-filled rooms?
Smoke-filled rooms, you got it. And Hayes was given the vote by one vote he won.
Wow.
Out of the House.
How many ballots were there? Was that like a single ballot thing?
Oh, no, no. There had to be like 20 ballots. Yeah, went back and forth. And but Samuel Tilden said, he said, okay. He took it. He said, this is the will of what they wanted. And he came back to New York State, was a lawyer. And when he passed away, they had a big train that came up to Hudson, and then they took the Harlem to Chatham, and they took the Rutland Railroad to New Lebanon, and they had a service in the Congregational Church, and he is buried in the Cemetery of the Evergreens, and he has a very lovely sarcophagus that says on it, I still trust the people.
That's so great.
Yeah, so...
That's so great. So, you know... I'm familiar with Tilden just through history class. Other than what was any big accomplishment that he's known for?
Yes. He broke up what they call the Erie Canal Ring.
Of water.
That's right. And what he did when he was governor, he had it investigated, and there were companies that were overcharging the farmers for using the Erie Canal. And so he broke that up and got legislation to say, you know, we're going to set the fares. So he broke up that Erie Canal Ring. And he was a progressive, I guess, for that day and age, and a little bit ahead of the times, especially, you know, in the 1870s, right?
Yeah,
after
there was kind of uproariness about getting rid of all these federal banking things and all sorts of people wanted control of money and take, you know, it's interesting where we are now. So let's jump. The canal thing obviously has something to
and
do.
And this is actually the 200th anniversary of the Erie Canal.
No way.
Yeah.
More water history hitting directly to our friend Samuel Tilden passed away.
1888, I believe.
1888 at the ripe old age of...
Well, that I don't know. I think he might have been in his 70s.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
He was ill at the end of his life.
Yeah.
So he's our most famous guy. But then we also have the Cemetery of the Evergreens where he's buried. There's a section called Cypress Hill. And there are 30 or more Revolutionary War veterans buried there that we are doing a restoration project with. So that's one thing that keeps me busy. The Kendall Company was there, and they... The first mercury thermometer in the United States was manufactured there, as was the barometer.
Wow.
And, of course, we have the Shakers. They're very famous.
They are very famous, and they have a water-powered wood shop.
Yes,
at the Hancock Shaker Village, so that's kind of interesting. Let's jump into a little bit more water.
Okay, you know, so let me go to the springs.
Yeah, let's go there.
I am very happy to be a proud resident of Lebanon Springs. And when I moved there in 1978, my house, which is on Main Street, was still hooked up to the springs for my water. And so that would be piped in. The line comes from the springs, and then there's a pond, and there's a little cistern. And from the cistern, it goes out to the different houses that are on both sides of the street. And down the hill, there's a Spring Hill Road and a Pool Hill Road. So that lead up to the intersection, and at the top of that is the springs itself, which is a pool, and there's a spring house around it, and the water is a constant 73 degrees.
Wow. So it's warm.
It's warm. There is a lot
of... It's thermal.
Yes. And in fact, when we were thinking of we were thinking of doing geothermal just a couple years ago, but we've got solar panels instead. It's expensive to do it, but because of the wet, the fact that it's 73 degrees, we would be able to do a geothermal heating in our house if we wanted to. You could, in it, on really, really cold days, if you look up the hill, you can see the steam coming up. So it's very interesting.
That's really cool. So there's even more history. There's a couple of pieces of history there.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's the indigenous history of passing on the spring.
Yes, there is.
So what's that about?
So the Stockbridge Munsee Indians, indigenous group, who over in Spring, we're at Stockbridge. And they would come across over the mountain and use the spring. And they had actually dug it out, and they had put clay around it and logs where they would sit. And they would sit in the springs, and they said it had a medicinal purpose. If there was something wrong with their skin or they had some kind of ailment, they would drink of the water, they would bathe in the water, and it would cure things like eczema, psoriasis, things like that. So they would come back and forth, and they would set up a little house there once in a while and stay there. It was discovered the first white man, as they say.
The settler.
And there were several. One was a Hitchcock, but he actually wasn't the first. And I'm just trying to – I have a lot of notes here.
It's okay. Take your time. Just –
So, John Wadhams was the first to settle in the area, and he actually was over across the mountain, and he was looking for his wandering cows, and he came upon the springs. So he said, oh, this is, and it's gorgeous. If you've never been over to New Lebanon, you need to come over, come up to the springs, go up Spring Hill Road, and then just look out, and you can just see over the whole valley. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And so he made a home there in 1764. So he's considered one of the first settlers of the area. And then he sold the springs to a man by the name of Charles Goodrich, who lived in Pittsfield. I think, you know, the name is famous in Pittsfield, and it's one of the names for the town of New Lebanon. And then a gentleman by the name of James Hitchcock came, and he found the springs. And he had a skin condition, and he found that it helped him and it cured him. So he set up a little hut by there, and Goodrich let him stay there and be a tenant. And Hitchcock actually charged a little bit of money, made some money by letting people come and onto the property and take the waters. There was then a big to-do between Hitchcock and Goodrich, and they had to go to court. So the Supreme Court of New York State in the early 1800s said that Hitchcock had no claim to the land, that it did belong to Goodrich. But Hitchcock still stayed on the land. He didn't move. Another famous person who came to take the waters was William Johnson, who was famous during the French and Indian War. And he was out in the Utica area. And he's the guy who changed the name of Lake George from Lac du Saint-Sacrement to Lake George in honor of King George. And he, during one of the battles, he had a musket ball lodged in his thigh, and it always troubled him. So he was the Iroquois, which were allies of the English at the time, took him over, heard about the springs, took him to the springs, and he bathed in the springs and rubbed the water on his wound, and said he felt much better, and he would write to his commanding officer and saying, hey, I feel a lot better, so, you know, we can get on with the next part of the war. And so that was another famous person who came.
Then there was, let's just intercede here a second. For those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, having a conversation regarding the water history of Lebanon and New Lebanon and Lebanon Springs, New York, over the other side of the current border, but at one time was Massachusetts.
It was, yeah. They went back and forth. Lebanon Springs was part of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, and the Massachusetts Bay Colony actually gave the permission for John Wadhams to settle there. So that was the first part. And the border went back and forth many times, and eventually it did end up where we have the Hancock now, where you go over the mountain and there's the border. But at one time, yeah, we were part of Massachusetts. In fact, the Episcopal Church was founded in the 1790s from the Diocese of Western Massachusetts,
wow.
The Episcopal Church. So that's it came down into the Springs area. So.
All right, the Empire State and the Commonwealth at each other's throats.
I'm sure they were.
I bet it was because of the water, because at one time
yes.
it was really, really important, and there was actually one of the revolutionary generals from France, General Lafayette.
Yes.
He came
to New Lebanon.
He came to New Lebanon, and did he use the springs?
No, he did not. But so there are different stories. But in doing research on this, because it is this June 13th this year will be the 200th anniversary of the visit of the Marquis de Lafayette with his son to New Lebanon, and he was invited by the Congress of the United States to come over to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the American Revolution.
Wow!
And our victory. So he came over in 1824, and he went all over, up and down the coast, all over the United States, and he kind of went back and forth. There was, seemed like if you looked at the map of where he went, it would be squiggly lines all over, because he was in Albany, then he went back down, then he came back up. So in June of 1825, he went up the Hudson River, and stopped at various places, and he was actually in Albany, and he came over Route 20, which was the main road, and at the border of Rensselaer County and Columbia County, he was met by a group of gentlemen from New Lebanon, and they escorted him up to the springs, where they had a big party. He only stayed a couple hours. He did not linger long. He may have taken the water from the springs, because they did show him the springs and talk to him about it. And then they had a big party in the Columbia Hall, which was the big hotel. And
so there was a hotel.
Oh, there was, yes.
This gets deep.
Oh, yes.
You know, not just because of the water, but at one time, Lebanon Springs and the New Lebanon water was and a town was rivaling a nearby other water town, which is called Saratoga Springs.
Yes.
And there's a little bit of politics in that. Do you know anything about that, about why one place got bigger and the other place maybe not, and where the divergence was?
I can speak to that, yes.
Yeah.
So just let me finish with Monsieur Lafayette.
Lafayette.
So there were so many people that they thought that the hall where they were having it, the floor was going to collapse. But after he was wined and dined and he signed the guest book, Lebanon Valley Historical Society does have the guest books from the hotel.
That's pretty
and
cool.
And there's the signatures. And Charles Dickens stayed. He did not like it. Ulysses S. Grant was there, Longfellow. So a lot of very famous people came to stay. But then he departed New Lebanon, went down the hill, went to the border, and at the border between New Lebanon and Massachusetts, the Pittsfield contingent met him, and they said, thank you very much, New York, you can go now. And then he went off to Pittsfield. And there is actually the Lafayette Trail is Route 20, and we are part of the Lafayette Trail, and there is a marker in a little park by the town hall to commemorate.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty great.
Yeah,
that's pretty
it
good.
Is.
So Revolutionary War hero from another country that actually supported us in the fight for freedom the British Crown, gave a tour of Lebanon and partake yep. into water, either yes. drinking or bathing or who knows.
That's, who knows? But who I'm knows. Pretty sure he took the water. He drank yeah. the water.
So that's cool. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it is. So the Lebanon Springs versus Saratoga Springs.
Yeah, let's jump. So, we're fast forwarding into the, I think, nine.
Well, this actually goes back into the early days of okay. the springs. So several hotels were built around it. And one gentleman who owned it just expanded on one of the hotels, and it became known as Columbia Hall. And it had bathing areas, it had tubs. It was almost like a quarter mile long veranda that overlooked down the valley. You could see, well, you know, it's just gorgeous, the mountains and stuff. And what drew people in the summertime to come were the Southerners. To get away from the heat and the humidity of the South, they would take the train up to the springs. And they would summer there in the springs.
Wow.
And there is a very lovely Baptist church on Main Street that was established in 1825, about the height of...
So they're kind of snowbirds, but they're yes. train-bound.
Train-bound, yep. But when the Civil War came about, the Southerners stopped coming, and then they kind of decreased it. And Saratoga, however, was right on a straight line. You would have to... To get to New Lebanon, you really want to get there. You had to take either a day boat up the Hudson to the city of Hudson, and then take a line to Chatham, and then take a line from Chatham to New Lebanon, where there were two stations. There was a station in New Lebanon, and there was a station in the Springs. And then they would cart you up to the hotel, and they would stay, and you would take the waters, and you would walk. And there were all kinds of stores and all... Very lovely facilities around, and churches that were in walking distance of the springs. So it just kind of, people just stopped coming. You know, foreigners would come over just to take the waters of the springs. It was that well known. And eventually they stopped coming. Then they went to Saratoga. And I must say, I have been to Saratoga and tasted that water. And it is very sulfury. The water from the springs in New Lebanon, it's very pure, and I have to say it's almost sweet. It has a very lovely taste, you know. And at the time when my father was very, very sick, it was the only water that he could drink.
Wow.
And I would bring gallons down to, he lived in Hudson down there. So so that's the rivalry between the two springs, and Saratoga just kind of built up more. And eventually, the hotel fell into disrepair. It was vandalized. And in 1828, the owner tore it down.
Mm.
But there are homes up there on the top of the hill of the springs that were part of the springs hotel areas that people live in. They're, you know, friends of mine live in these lovely, lovely homes, you know, that have the character of the springs. And you can go up, you can see the springs. It's a very big house, a big house. And I'm going to show you this picture, even though, I'm sorry, people,
can't see the picture. Radio,
but Leslie can see it. And you can go see the springs, and the water is still coming out.
That's really great. And I just want to interlude for those of you who are just tuning in. Where you are listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm your Super Waterman Ambassador for Water, and we're having a conversation with Elizabeth Sheffer, a historian from New Lebanon and / Lebanon Springs, New York, which used to be part of Massachusetts, which has quite a water history. And quite a relationship with water. There was one item I wanted to touch on because we have a few more minutes here. I wanted to touch on...
You want to talk about the blessing fountain?
Yeah,
yes.
That's it. You read my mind.
I did. So the blessing fountain was an idea of the garden club in the 1930s. And they wanted to do something to recognize the Stockmunchee Indians who were the first founders of the Springs and who had a close relationship with the town of New Lebanon. So they gathered together, and this is interesting, Main Street, right smack dab in the middle of Main Street, as you turned into Main Street from Route 22, is where they built, had the statue put.
Yeah.
And they built a very lovely stone covering over it, and they had it's a combination of the Munsee Indians, the Iroquois, and the Mohawk statue. And he is holding his hands, and water would flow from his hands down into a little well, and then you could go and...
Yeah, I have a little write-up here. Yeah. According to the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, this is out of Williamstown history. The Mohican Blessing Fountain in New Lebanon, New York, is a prime example of this relationship to springs. In 1941, the Mohican Blessing Fountain was built to honor and thank the Mohicans who sold a parcel of their land in 1759 under the stipulation that the land's water would forever be free and accessible to all. And, you know, by what I see of that Blessing Fountain right now, is in my last time going there, is it's not running.
No, it's not.
And I'll ask a quick question about that. And then beyond that, it's, you know, just not sure if that stipulation is being met, and is there any way to bring that back? So my question then, what's up with that stipulation?
Okay.
Another question, why isn't it running, and is there any way to rededicate it and bring it back?
Okay, so in the 1980s, the Department of Transportation says you got to move the statue out of the road. So they moved it to the Slovy Park.
Okay.
And then the line went under the road, and it was working. There's been controversy about that little piece in the deed that says it's open and available to everyone forever. And there has been litigation. Some of the owners would close it up, turn it off, put fences up. Nobody could use it. And then they would be taken to court. And one court case took 16 years to finally settle. But each time it was taken to court, the courts agreed, says, yes, this is in the deed. And the lands and the waters have to be open and free to everyone who wants to use them. So... it had been that way for long, and they did have water running into the statue, and there was a spigot next to it that people would come from all over to come get their water. And then the health department came in from Columbia County and did a test on it and said there was just too much bad bacteria in there, and they didn't want people using it, so they took an order to shut the water down.
And when was that?
That had to be a couple years ago, I think.
Good old
maybe.
Columbia County. You know, that I have this conversation, and I get that some water can be skanky, to call it simply, and not be good for use. But at the other time, like there's this beverage called kombucha. Kombucha actually has live bacteria. Almost like raw milk. And that live bacteria is good for your gut. And the same could be said for raw milk. And if we look at ourselves, our bodies, in our gut is this extraordinary biome made up of all sorts of bacteria and viruses and other living organisms that is part of us. So... is there any way to go back to the Columbia County and say, hey, what's up with this?
That I don't know, because the Springs itself is owned by a family.
Okay.
And I understand that there is some litigation going on about that, and that's way beyond me. But right now, the Springs is closed off.
Yeah,
right now. It may be reopened depending on the outcome of whatever's going on with the family. As far as the water coming to the blessing fountain, I think if whoever owns the line that goes from the springs under the road to the fountain would put UV lights in it. I know that some of my neighbors have put UV lights on their lines.
Yep.
And the health, that was okay with the health department. Then they would probably reopen it again. Other than that, I know that I have neighbors who still are on the line and they don't have anything, you know,
yeah.
And they're still living and kicking. And my kids grew up on it and they're fine, you know. And
yeah, there's a whole area of devotees to raw water.
Yes.
And I will be interviewing some of those folks soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you. Thank you for participating in our show. And So It Flows, the only show for H2O. How can people find out more about the springs? Can they contact you?
They can.
How?
They can contact me. They can give me a call at my office number, which is 518-794-8880. And they can email me at, this is a big long one, it's
okay,
I forgot my own.
It's okay.
But they can, yes, but if you call me and leave a message, I'll get back to you. I'm very good at doing
yeah,
that.
Or yeah, or you could go to the Town of New Lebanon,
you know,
website, and
my email is right there, and you can get in touch. Thank you very much, Leslie,
thank
for
you.
That, because I forgot about
not
that.
Not a worry.
But thank you very much. I'm a Scorpio, so I'm a water person anyway.
That's great. That's great. Thanks again for joining us, Elizabeth. We've been talking to Elizabeth Sheffer about the, you know, the water history of Lebanon Springs and New Lebanon, New York. Very excited about that. So stay tuned. We got a little bit more water music coming your way. Let's see what we got here. We got this one from the Silver State Trio. This is A Bottled Water. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O.
When you walk into any store, you'll pay a buck or even more for water, bottled water. If my grandpa were here today, he'd think that we were nuts to pay for water, bottled water. It falls for free out of the sky. The ocean's full, yet still we buy it by the case at Walmart. Bottled water. I'll never understand, but I'd like to meet the man who came up with the plan to bottle up and sell us water. I'm sure his wife said it'll never fly. He said, I bet it will, and here's the reason why. We won't sell just plain old water, but mountain spring, low sodium from Colorado or Canadian water. But where it comes from, no one knows. Could just be a garden hose in Detroit. I'm sure I'd be a millionaire if I could bottle up some air and call it bottled oxygen. Sell beside their bottled water.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Now if there's a smile,
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Be back next week for some really cool announcements of some programming that's going to be coming together for the community at large and also for the nation. Very excited. Going to be with my guest and friend of show, Michael Cristofaro, who's a Wim Hof instructor, so stay tuned for that. We'll be seeing you next week, and love your H2O.
In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.